this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, it's so awesome to be here. I feel so at home, especially when I saw that the first two rows, I'm so glad it filled up, not the first two rows, the first row. I think it's my destiny to sit alone in the first row. One day I'm going to pay people to come and sit with me. Because like Philip said, I joined Shofar in 1995. It's a really long time ago. And I joined the worship team at the end of that year. So I'm so used to sit in the front row because I always had to go up at the end of the service to play the keyboard. And then I got married, well, I thought I got married to an engineer originally, but he became a pastor, and now I again sit in the front row, so it's my destiny. I seriously consider paying people to come and join me. But it's so special to be here. I know Andre's been here before, but it's my very first visit to Shofar Pretoria, and it's really amazing to be here. Thanks, Philip. A pastor is very protected, you know, over his sheep. And to give a mic to a lady is a risk. So thanks, Philip. Him and Janetta are just the most amazing couple, and I stayed with them over the weekend. And I just want to thank you for your hospitality. And, yeah, it's family. It's especially if you've joined Shofar in 1995, there's many, many people that you consider family. And I consider all of you family because you're here this morning. And Shofar is more than a church. It's more than a group of churches. It's really family. We've made our best friends in the church. I met my husband in the church, like I think many of you maybe did or will do. Amen. So it is just amazing to be a part of what God is doing. I studied accounting in Stellenbosch way back. In my previous life, I studied accounting. My husband studied industrial engineering. We never thought we would end up in full-time ministry, but God has a sense of humor. And we always have been very passionate about church. We've been involved in church since varsity days. But more than six years ago, God moved us to East London, which at that stage was really just a place on the map somewhere for me. I had absolutely no idea even where it was. We had no family there. I was 8 months pregnant, and it was a big change in my life, but I never looked back. I never, ever looked back, and I joined Andre 5 years ago, full-time ministry. I worked I did my articles. I worked as an auditor for 11 years before I joined him in full-time ministry, and once again, I never looked back. I don't miss it for one moment. I think the best way I can describe it is I've always been planted in church. But since we moved to East London, I literally feel like a plant being planted in its natural habitat, if it makes sense to you. Like as if I'm actually flourishing and it's meant to be, and God planned it, and it's was destiny for us. So When we 6 years ago, when we arrived in East London, there were about 15, 20 people in the church. So it was this big step of faith for us, but God has been so faithful. Please visit us sometime. It's the most amazing place to live. I fell in love with East London and the people. I think as many of you maybe did with Pretoria, I'm sure it's an amazing place to live. But I just realized that the best place to be is in God's will. It's actually not about where you live. It's actually not about even your house or your job or many things, the car you drive. It's being right in the center of God's will. That is where fulfillment is. That is where family is. That is where there's a reward that you cannot measure in money and time. There's something. So I just want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where you are at, but the best place I found is in God's will. Amen. So I just want to pray for us, and then start. God, I thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. This is the day that you have made, and we just declare that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you for Pretoria. Thank you for this city, Lord. Thank you for Shava Pretoria. Thank you, Father, for Janetta and Philip and their team and every leader in this house, God. And I pray a blessing over each and everyone here. I thank you, Father, that there's lives being changed every day, every week, every Sunday, God. I know there's transformation taking place. And I thank you, Lord, that there are men and that there are women who is ready, God, to just be there when you call them. And I just bless them as a congregation. Father, I pray that whatever you have imparted in me and at Shafa East London, God, that you would be able to just impart that to them. And whatever you have imparted here, that I would be able to receive this morning from their congregation and their heart and their spirit. So I bless you for this time. Thank you for the privilege, God, of just being here. And we just consecrate this time to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for the worship. Worship is very close to my heart. Music's always been part of my life. But I think worship, when I discovered worship, I just did classical. I have a classical background or training. But when I discovered worship, it was like this new world. I grew up in a very traditional church as a child, so I wasn't really exposed to the worship that we have in our church today. And I just want to say we don't always appreciate what we have in terms of worship, in terms of God's presence. And I just so enjoyed what you have here. So thanks for the band. So as I said, I was 8 months pregnant when we moved to East London. God blessed me with a little boy. His name is Vian. I can quickly show you a photo. I think it should be on the slides. There's a photo of my husband and my family. Who is my husband? And yeah, there they are. It's my little boy. He's the cutest thing ever. I'm sorry. I know I'm totally subjective. Every mother thinks that their child is the most beautiful, but he is really the cutest little thing ever. And I'm so privileged to have him. I'm so thankful for a son. He's in grade one now. It's a totally new experience for me. And I just so enjoy him growing up, and I'll tell you a few stories about him. But I think the reason why I also appreciate him so much is because we've been trying for 5 years now for a second one. And it's been quite an interesting journey for us. Sometimes my faith is really high because God has given us so many promises. Sometimes my faith is really low and I don't have any idea how this is going to happen if it hasn't happened in 5 years. So I think to have a son, because there are people who are battling with their first, or to conceive with their first one, and I'm just so thankful to have a little boy who brightens up my day. And he sings all the time. He's not even on the note yet. I really pray that you would be able to one day. my dad is completely tone deaf. So that is, yeah, that's a whole story on its own. My mom was a music teacher. So I really pray that Vian's got, you know, the musical genes, that we can make music together. But he sings all the time, and he dances through life, and he enjoys. He is just this little bundle of joy. Vian means full of life. His name means full of life, and he's seriously full of life. He brightens up my day. But I think, as I say, I appreciate him so much just because we're battling with our second one. And I've just realized that the biggest danger for me in this journey, it's actually not the danger that I would never fall pregnant again. The danger is that my heart would become sick. That is the danger. It's actually not really about having another child. It's about my heart and what's going on inside of my heart and whether my heart is still healthy or not. And I don't know where you are at this morning. Maybe you are waiting for your husband. Or maybe you're waiting for your wife. Maybe you are waiting for another child like I do. Maybe you stand in faith for a job or a just financial breakthrough. Maybe you stand in faith for healing. It's amazing. My husband really inspires me, because about 3 years ago, we just started really praying for people who are sick. And, you know, we all believe Jesus heals, but he just decided he wants to see it. We don't only want to believe it. We actually want to pray for people and see that Jesus heals them. And about 3 years ago, God took us on this journey, and we just started praying for people who are physically sick in their bodies, for anything. And we've seen so many amazing, amazing miracles. If you were here this morning, I would have told you at least about 10 miracles. But I just know that I'm actually amazed by how many people battle with a physical condition in their bodies. So maybe that is your prayer or your waiting period. You've been battling with a specific sickness or illness in your body for quite a while, and you're trusting the Lord to heal you, but it hasn't happened yet. Maybe you just trust the Lord for a restored marriage or restored marriage for somebody else. I don't know. But what I want to ask you this morning is, how is it going with your heart in this waiting period, in this time of trusting the Lord? How is it going with your heart? Is your heart still healthy, or has it become sick? And this is what I want to share with you this morning, because I think my journey in terms of waiting for another child, I'm just being so confronted that I'm fighting for my heart all the time, which is good. But it's very real to me that in a time of waiting where you're trusting the Lord for something to happen, the condition of your heart is something that could be very fragile. But it could also be an amazing, amazing discovery how Jesus can come and just restore your heart over and over again. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. There's a scripture in Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Know how many of you have come across the scripture, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick," Proverbs 13. You see, hope is a confident expectation that good is coming. It's a confident expectation. It's a little bit different to faith. I'm not going to talk about faith this morning. I'm going to talk about hope. And hope is a confident expectation that good is coming. A confident expectation. So the moment we lose that confident expectation that good is coming, we lose our hope. The moment we are in a position or in a situation where there's either sickness in our body, or we're waiting for 5 years, and the confident expectation that the situation is going to change disappears, we lose our hope. And this is what hope is all about. When our hopelessness becomes the condition of our heart, is actually a bigger problem than the problem itself. There's a guy called Steve Backlund. I don't know how many of you have maybe listened to some of his teachings or his books. He's got a ministry called Igniting Hope Ministries. And he says the following: our hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. Which makes really sense if you think about it. Our hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem, which means that if we are sick in our bodies, if we are waiting for a breakthrough, if we are trusting the Lord for something, and we lose our hope with regards to that condition, that is actually a bigger problem than the original problem. Because then we are in a big black hole of despair, and that makes our heart sick. The sickness, the waiting for your husband, the trusting the Lord for financial breakthrough, it cannot really make our heart sick, but hopelessness and despair can make our heart sick. And this is what we have to learn. We have to learn how to not get to that place where our hearts become sick. Or even if we do get to that place, we need to know how to trust the Lord for our hearts to become healthy again. Amen. Is there anybody that relate to what I'm saying? It is just such a real thing for all of us, because I believe there's many people that's in a waiting period in many stages of their lives. And it is so precious to know that our hearts do not have to become sick. We can have joy in the midst of it, and it's not always easy, but it's really possible. So I just want to share with you a few things that God did in my life, in my waiting period. And I know your situation is completely different, but all these things are applicable to whatever kind of waiting period you are in, or promise you are standing upon. Even if you don't even have a promise, it's just a prayer, it's just a desire, it will be applicable to that situation. So I want to take you to a scripture in Romans 5. Romans 5 is 3 to 5. It reads as follows: "But we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now this sounds really awesome in theory. You know, let's glory in tribulations, because it's going to produce perseverance, and it will produce character, and it will produce hope. And that hope will not disappoint. Now, let me be honest with you. In the beginning of my 5-year journey with the Lord, I said to God, "I'm sorry, Lord, but Romans 5 is 5. Doesn't make sense to me. It sounds awesome, but it's not a reality for me that hope does not disappoint." Because I said to God, "Lord, I have an expectation every month, and I'm disappointed every month." Which means that it felt to me as if the hope I had was disappointed. Okay, if it makes sense to you, I had a hope, there was a disappointment. My hope, it was disappointed. That specific thing I hoped for, and I said to the Lord, he has to help me with the scripture. Because I know it's truth. I know it's truth. And I know it will set me free, but it doesn't make sense to me. And God took me on a journey where literally every month where there's a disappointment that I'm not pregnant, he would start showing me how much in that moment he loves me. How much in that moment he wants to restore my heart. How much in that moment he cares about me. And it's something you need to wrestle through with the Lord. It can't ever be a theoretical thing. It's where you come to God over and over and over and say, "God, my heart's broken again, but I don't want it to become sick. Please restore my heart." So I want to read you another scripture, Hosea 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, "But then I will win her back once again." This is God speaking. Where the nation of Israel just over and over went back to the idols and didn't serve him. And then he, in one of his attempts just to win back their hearts, he said the following: "I will win her back once again. I will lead her into the desert, and I will speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her," and listen to this part, "I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope." So what God showed me is he will turn our troubles, our disappointments, into a gateway of hope if we allow the Holy Spirit to come and pour the love of God into our hearts. Now, the best way I can explain that to you, some Bible translations talk about the Holy Spirit as an engagement ring, which I think is beautiful. Because all of you ever got engaged will know there's a confident expectation that good is coming when this ring is put on your finger. And for those of you who've never experienced it, you will experience it. Amen? We just speak over you, the right time, the right person, you will experience it. But the Holy Spirit comes, he's our engagement ring. He comes and he puts the love of God on our finger as a ring. And the moment that happens, Jesus becomes our hope. Which means instead of, in my situation, instead of me hoping to fall pregnant, Jesus becomes my hope. He's in my heart. Which means my hope cannot, this specific hope, which is Jesus, cannot disappoint. And God so preciously revealed to me how this works. That the moment we shift our focus from, I'm trusting Him for a specific outcome, in a specific way, in a specific timing, in the way I want it to happen, when we shift our focus from that to, Jesus is my hope. It's a person. It's the Holy Spirit who comes as a ring, and He puts the love of God on our fingers. Our hope cannot be disappointed. Because our hope is Jesus. Our hope is a very real person that is poured out into our hearts, and it cannot be disappointed. So I just want to encourage you, whenever you come to a place in your life where you really feel that your hope has been disappointed, the Holy Spirit can come like a ring, and He can put the love of God on your finger once again. Like in my relationship with my husband, if you are in a relationship with somebody that you love, and you go through a difficult time, and that person tells you that he loves you, it doesn't change anything really, but there's a hope released in your heart. There's a hope that is released in your heart the moment that you experience love. The most special thing happened the other day, a week ago. I was in our kitchen, and I was really tired. I went through a couple of weeks now where I really battled to sleep. That's a long story on its own. But Saturday morning, my little boy watched me as I stood in the kitchen and I cried. I know you guys never cry. Eh? You look like a very focused group. Philip's congregation, you're focused. And my son looked at me and said, Mommy, why are you crying? Because I cried a lot the last 5 weeks because of exhaustion, because I didn't sleep well. So I said, my standard answer the last 5 weeks, I'm tired. So you know what he did? He climbed into my food cupboard. Like he literally has to like climb on the... He got the bottle of olive oil. He took it out. I mean, it's just a miracle that everything else didn't also came down. He took it out. He climbed onto my lap. He put oil on my forehead and he said, Jesus, please heal mommy. She cannot sleep. Please heal her. You know, and in that moment, the love of God was poured into my heart. And I just think we so often miss the love of God, you know, that is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We miss it because we are looking for a specific outcome. You know, my outcome is I just want to sleep anywhere, any place. Honestly, there's anybody has ever battled to sleep, you'll know it's like a really big desire. You just want to like be like a little cat, you know, just a klein koiki. And you just want to sleep anytime, any place. But in any case, if I look at that, I can miss the love of God altogether, because that morning the love of God was poured into my heart by my son, who is 6, who took the oil, he anointed me, and he prayed for me. And I just know this is Jesus through my son, putting a ring on my finger and just saying, Sonika, I love you. I am your hope. So I just want to just maybe pray right now that God will do that for us. Father, I thank you for a miracle in our hearts, Lord, that you will come and pour out your love in our hearts. I know it's intangible, God. It's difficult to understand, but I just release over everybody now, God, just the ability to see and experience your love. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. Something else that I've seen that we have to do when we don't want our hearts to get sick is we have to value our hope. You see, so often we have some things that are valuable to us, like our ring, our car, you know, things in our house that's really valuable to us. And what do we do if something is really okay? It's all there on the screen, so it's okay. If something is valuable for us, we don't just leave it outside in the streets and not care about it. Hey, we would probably insure it if it's really important to us. We would value it. We will insure it. We'll keep it safe. We'll put it somewhere where we know it's safe. And if it's lost, we're not just going to say, oh, whatever. I've now lost my car. Oh, I'll just walk. You know? No, you hopefully have insured it. And you're going to phone your insurance broker, right? So I think when it comes to hope, we don't always value our hope. And if we do value it, we sometimes do not even know when it is gone. So now we lose our hope. Remember, it's a confident expectation that good is coming, which means the moment you come into a situation where you have no confident expectation that good is coming, you just see all the bad reports coming for you. The moment you're in a position where you've lost that something called hope, we have to first of all insure it in heaven. And when it's gone, we have to go to Jesus. He's our insurance broker. He's our heavenly insurance broker. He said, Jesus, I lost my hope. It's gone. The devil has stolen my hope. Please restore it. Please restore it. And I've just seen over and over how God actually does it. There's a scripture in Psalm 23. You all know that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. And I've seen it over and over in this season for me, that when my heart is broken, I say to God, Lord, I'm not sure if you can restore it again, because it's really, really broken this time. You know, there were a few times when I actually thought I was pregnant and I wasn't. And you know, it's in those times that you really feel your heart is so broken that you're not convinced that God can do something about it. And God showed me over and over again that even when I think it's really a lost case, my heart is not so broken. I can't do something about it. He can't do something about it. That He comes and He restores my soul. Every time. And it doesn't always happen in a second. Sometimes it happens over a day or a couple of hours. But I've learned to, if I lose my hope, immediately go to Jesus. Because I often think our hearts become sick because we don't value our hope. We just let it go and it disappears, and we don't run after it. We don't run after it. We don't look for it. We don't ask God to come and restore it. And I remember in December, we heard about a couple. Sorry, I'm talking a lot now about my situation, trying to fall pregnant. But whatever your situation is, just make it applicable to you. We heard about a couple at who's going to have a baby. They also battled for a while. And I was on holiday. And most of the times, I'm really fine when I hear people going to have a baby. I'm very, very excited for them. But that specific time, I was all of a sudden really upset. I was happy for them, but I was upset for myself. So Andre just told me the news, and I said to God, Lord, my heart all of a sudden is not fine. It is if I know, okay, I must go look for my hope again, because all of a sudden, just hearing that, for some reason, I wasn't fine. So I went for a walk with God. I said to the Lord, God, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be upset when other people, you know, are going to experience this blessing. I don't want to be at this, you know. I don't want to feel this in my heart. I know this is not where I want to be. And I went for a walk on my own. And you know what? God restored my heart with one question. He does it every time in a different way, but that moment he said to me, Sonika, do you want their lives? And I had to evaluate my life and everything God has done for me. And I had to make a decision whether I want to swap for them. And it's just, if God has just like showed me everything he's done for me, everything has given me, everything he's blessed me with, and I just realized, I'm so blessed. I'm so happy. I'm so fulfilled. And in a moment, my heart was restored when I said to God, I don't want to swap. I don't want to swap. Even if I'm never going to have another child, I'm so happy. I'm so fulfilled. I have the most amazing husband in the whole world. I have the adorable little six-year-old boy. God is doing amazing things in my heart, in people's lives, in his London, all over the world. And I wouldn't swap my life for anything. And God restored me in an instant. But I had to go to him. I had to realize my heart is not well. My heart is not well. I must go to Jesus. I have to ask him to restore me. So I just want to encourage you. Ensure your hope in heaven. Take it seriously. Value your hope. See it as a really, really precious possession, your hope. And if you lose it, ask God to restore it immediately. Don't wait a week, 6 months, a year. Don't wait. Don't think, oh, time will heal. Time doesn't heal, right? Jesus heals. We think in 5 years from now I'm going to be okay. No, sometimes it gets worse. We have to ask God to come and heal us. And something I've also learned, that we have to keep on focusing on his goodness. We have to keep on focusing on his goodness. There's a scripture in Psalm 27. I would have lost heart unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I've just learned that the moment we focus on what we have and not on what we don't have, it also changes our heart's condition. When we focus, when we deliberately focus on the goodness of God, it changes everything. And sometimes, you know, many people say, but my life is such a mess. I don't have anything to thank God for. I can't focus on his goodness because there's nothing, Sonika, there's nothing. And then I just always say to people, thank him for your salvation. For your salvation. You know what? If your name is written in the book of life, if you're going to spend eternity with God, it is a huge thing to celebrate. There are so many people whose eyes are still closed, who don't have a relationship with the Lord. If you are going to close your eyes on this earth one day, forever, and you know God, you're not going to die. You're going to live. And it is something to celebrate. My little boy, about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, one evening my husband was at a prayer meeting, and Vian and I were sitting on the bed. We're going to read stories because it's bedtime. And we've been trying to explain to him that Jesus can speak to you, but he can't understand it. He's been battling now for about a couple of months to now. The one day we explained to him in detail how Jesus can speak to him, and he said, okay, he's going to go up to his room. He's going to pray. We must just be quiet because now Jesus is going to speak to him. And about 10 minutes later, he was crying in the corner. And he said, Mommy, do you want to know why I'm crying? I said, yes, my boy, I want to know. So he said, Jesus isn't speaking to me. I can't hear his voice. So it was really traumatic for him because he had such an expectation. And then about 5 weeks ago, we were sitting in the bed, and I explained to him again how Jesus speaks. So then he says to me, so Mommy, does Jesus speak to me in my brain? I said, yes, that's what he does. It's like a thought. And not long after that, he out of the blue just said to me, oh, Jesus just spoke to me. And you know what he said? Because I know that was really said, Mommy, Jesus said to me, I'm going to heaven. And my book, my name is written in that book. And he said to me, you and Daddy are also going to heaven. And he was like tears in his eyes. And since then, Jesus is just speaking to me all the time. And I just realized, you know, when he said to me, Jesus tells me I'm going to heaven and you and Daddy are also going to heaven. So I thought to myself, we should celebrate salvation more, you know, in our own lives. We should celebrate more and more and more that Jesus Christ called us. He took us by the hand. He gave us a new heart, a new spirit. We're going to live forever, you know. We were going to live forever. I mean, all the beauty products in the shops can't compare to eternity. Jesus is going to give us our best look ever, okay? It is just incredible to know that eternity is going to be eternity. And we so often forget that our time here on earth is temporary. And I know sometimes it's hard. I'm not saying our challenges aren't real. But if we shift our focus to God's goodness and to what he has done for us, even if we just think about salvation, it changes something in our hearts that is really powerful. We also have to meditate on his promises. We have to meditate on his promises. I want to read you another scripture in Romans. It was about Abraham. You know, Abraham had the promise that he's going to be the father of many nations, but his wife couldn't have a child. And if you really look into the history, in the end, they had the boy, Isaac. Isaac got married to a woman called Rebecca. She was barren as well. I don't know how many of you know that. There's a scripture where it says, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, Rebecca, for she was barren. Then they had the twins, remember? Jacob and Esau, yeah. And then Jacob married the two girls, okay, Leah. Worked for 7 years for Leah, worked another 7 years for Rachel. Rachel also battled to have children. So what I want to illustrate is just that God gave Abraham a promise. So we just think, yeah, Abraham was the father of many nations. It came to pass, the prophecy or the word or the promise. They had to fight for their promise. You know, when I read that scripture that Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, Rebecca, for she was barren, I just realized sometimes a word or a promise will be tested. And sometimes we have to fight for it. And if it hasn't come to pass in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, we can't just give up so easily. Amen? We can't just give up so easily because the all-time promise that God gave, that Abram is going to be the father of many nations, it was tested. They had to persevere. Let me read you the scripture. Even then, when there was no reason for hope, Abram kept hoping. Romans 4. Even when there was no reason for hope. And how many of us have been in that position where there's no reason for hope? Like, all the facts on the table, the doctor's reports, everything tells us there's no hope. But it says Abram kept hoping even when there was no reason for hope, believing that he would become the father of many nations. And Abram's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead and so was Sarah's womb. Abram never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And you know what happens to me when I meditate on the promises of God? My doubt really disappears in that moment. When I focus on the facts and the, you know, people's opinions, it's hard. It's hard to keep your hope. But when I do focus on the promises of God, something happens in my heart. Especially when it's pages and pages and pages. It really makes a difference to meditate on the promises of God. It really does. And if you don't have a promise, the Bible is full of promises. Amen? The Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. That's your promise. You find a wife, finds a good thing. A good thing. And he will obtain favor from the Lord. That's your promise. Or God said, go and multiply. Go and multiply the earth. You know, sometimes we Yes, and it's awesome to have a specific promise, a specific person prophesying over you, receiving a word. I really believe we should trust the Lord for that as well, for the Rhema word. But sometimes we're so looking for a promise that we forget that the Bible is full of many things that is God's will for us, and that His plan, and it is His heart for us. So start meditating on God's will and His promises. And then the last one I just want to share with you is, we have to wait upon the Lord. We shouldn't only wait. We should wait upon the Lord. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him." Isn't that amazing? Since the beginning of the world, which means the moment God spoke and said, "Let there be light," since that moment, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. You know, and there were many times in my season now, I thought, God, what if I never fall pregnant? Because we really stand in faith for another baby. And then God just brings me back to the scripture. He will act for the one who waits for him. Not necessarily in my way, in my timing. And I also had to make up my mind. Because the devil comes with a question. So, Sonika, what if you never fall pregnant? And I can't just leave that question. I have to answer it. I have to go through the implications. And I've made up my mind. I've made up my mind that if I never have another child again, I will not allow my heart to become bitter towards the Lord. I will fight. I will, for the rest of my life, fight for my heart's condition towards the Lord to stay soft, to not become offended, to not become bitter. Because if I really evaluate my relationship with God and I put it next to another baby, I pick Jesus. I really do. And it's not something that I can really help anybody with. You have to wrestle with that in your heart. We have to come to a place that even if we have 5 A4 pages of promises, that the promise is not the determining factor that determines the course of your heart and your life, even if none of that come to pass. Jesus is our hope. He's going nowhere. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's in your boat. You know, I got a revelation over the last couple of weeks that I would rather be in a storm with Jesus in my boat than being in no storm and everything's perfect, but Jesus is nowhere to be found. Then I pick a storm. Honestly, I pick the storm. Even if I don't understand, I don't know how what the outcome is going to be, but Jesus is in my boat. So somehow it's all going to be fine. Even if we don't understand it, even if we can't figure it out, a storm with Jesus in your boat is a much better place to be than a perfect, perfect oasis or a perfect lake where there's no waves and no storm and no crisis, but Jesus isn't there. I just want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, if Jesus is in your boat, you are safe. You are really safe. And you know, when we go through a time of waiting, there's two things that happens. We discover the joy of loving the promise keeper more than the promise itself. We discover the joy, and this is for me really significant. You know, we discover the joy if we constantly take it to the Lord. We discover the joy of loving Jesus more than the promise, which is huge. It's a wonderful place to be. But we also develop a greater compassion for those with a long-standing, unchanging situation, which is also good. You know, the Bible says one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And I think sometimes we really develop kindness if we can put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and say, you know what? Obviously, I don't 100% understand because every situation is different, but I have compassion. I really have compassion on your situation, which is, it's amazing. If we can come to a place where we are not frustrated with people who battle with things and judgmental, because, I mean, seriously, how difficult can it be to sleep if you don't battle with insomnia? I mean, my husband and I have been through this. Sonika, how difficult can it be to sleep? I know, but you develop a compassion for somebody if you are battling with something. And it's not bad. It is good. It is good. And we serve a God of miracles. I mean, we trust the Lord all the time for miracles and breakthrough. And we really believe the devil is not stronger than God. Okay, so this is not what I'm saying, that we must not all go through severe persecution and sufferings so that we can develop kindness, or God will make us sick because he wants to teach us kindness. That's not the truth. Okay, God's never making us sick to teach us, help us to grow in character. However, whatever we're going through, God can turn it around for our good. He can turn it around for other people's good, for his glory. And that is what I'm holding on to. I said, God, if my life will bring glory to you, if my relationship with you will grow more intimate, I pick the storm. Just stay in my boat. Just stay in my boat. Stay in my boat. So I'm almost done. I just want to ask one more question. Or make the statement again. The question is not really, when is God going to answer your prayer? Or when is he going to fulfill his promises? It's about, where is your heart this morning? What is the condition of your heart? And as I say, I said to my husband a couple of months ago, where I'm not at is I'm fighting for my heart for Jesus. I'm fighting for my heart, and I won't stop fighting for my heart to stay pure and soft and open and not to be offended towards God. And this, for me, it's a place of victory. It's really a place of victory. Regardless of anything else, it is really a place of victory. And you know what? We are designed to walk by faith. We are actually designed to walk by faith. We want to walk by sight because this is what the whole world wants to. It's just like everything wants to bombard us with facts and specialists and people who know what they're talking about. But we are designed to walk by faith. You are designed to walk by faith. And to trust the Lord for something is not bad. It's good. Amen? It is good. When we trust God for something, we speak his love language. I mean, if you're in a relationship and you speak your spouse or your boyfriend's love language, something special happens in the relationship, you know? So if we trust the Lord, if we put our faith in him, if we walk by faith and not by sight, something happens between you and God. You speak his love language. And his heart, I mean, his heart is always soft towards us, but I feel like I experience it is just that God wants to pour out more of his heart on me. The moment I trust him and look away from everything else, something happens between him and me that I can't measure, I can't explain, but there's something. There's a connection. There's a something between me and him that I wouldn't exchange for anything when I put my faith in him. And I said, God, I might look like a fool because I've said in front of my congregation in East London that we will fall pregnant and one day I'm going to not even put the scan on Facebook. I'll put it on the screens in church, you know, like the heartbeat of the baby. And then I think, what if I never fall pregnant? I'm going to look so stupid. I know that. And then I think, I don't care. Because something is happening in my heart towards the Lord when I trust him. I speak his love language and he comes and just blesses me with something that is more important and precious to me than what people think and what they say. So I just want to encourage you with this last thing. The length of a problem, or the length that a problem has existed, does not determine the likelihood of its outcome. I don't know if that is on the screen. I don't think so. You remember the woman who, in the Bible, who battled with the blood problem for 12 years. She was healed suddenly in a moment. You remember the man at the pool? He was lying there for 36 years. 36 years is really a long time. He couldn't walk. Jesus healed him. There was a woman that couldn't stand up straight. And I can give you all the scripture references, okay, for those of you who would like that. There was a woman, she had been bent double, Luke 13, for 18 years. She was obviously walking like this. 18 years. Jesus healed her. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Sometimes we think, I've battled for a month, my hope is still high. Right? Oh, I battled for a year. Surely if I battled for 5 years, my hope is like a graph, you know. The longer you battle, the less the likelihood of the outcome. It's not the truth. It might be our reality in our head, but it's not the truth. So I just want to encourage you this morning, no matter how long you have battled, God can suddenly change it. He can in a moment come and decide, this is your day, this is your moment. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.